ಸತ್ರಿಷಿಕ್ತಸ್ತ್ರಯತಸ್ತಾಮುಪೋಷ್ಯ ವಿಭಾವರೀ ಸಮಾಹಿತಪರ್ಯಚರಿಷ್ಯಾದೇಶೇನ ಪೂರುಷಂ ಸ್ವಧ್ರುವಾಸ್ ಆಸ್ಟಿಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಈ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ದಮ್ ಇನ್ ರೈಟ್ ಅರ್ನೆಸ್ನೆಸ್ ನೋ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಸ್ ವೇಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಹಿ ರೀಚ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಈವನಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಹಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ದಿ ಫೆನನ್ಸ್ ತಪಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಕಾಲ್ ತಪಸ್ the night itself. Trirātrāṁte, trirātrāṁte, kapitthabadarāśanah, ātmavṛtyanusārenam, āsam niniyetchayan harim. So, this is how the tapas is done. Tapas means you constantly contemplate upon Ishvara. You have nothing to do with the world anymore. You are totally devoted to the devotion. Ishvara, totally devoted. That is what we call tapas. This kind of life of austerity is there in all religions, in all mystic schools it is there. In Christianity it is there, in Sufism it is there, of course in Hinduism and Buddhism it is there all the more. So, you withdraw from the society and confine yourself to some corner. And now you have nothing to do with the world. And you stay there and keep the body just alive, keep it going there, and then devote yourself entirely to the contemplation on God. The life of contemplation is not life of action. Action is incidental. Some action will be there, but it is life of contemplation. So this is what we call tapas. Now, here there is an interesting discussion, narration. It's a nice story. So just to take the story as a story, the spirit of the description is that Dhruva has performed the most severe austerities. That is the description. That is the spirit of the description. So he used to break his penance or tapas once in 3 days. Ratra stands for day. In the first month of his austerities, he used to break his contemplation once in 3 days. Triratrante, triratrante. And what food he used to take? Only once in 3 days he takes the food. And that is kapitha badarashanaha. The fruits, two fruits available in that place. Kapitha is the wood apple. It is there, it is a tropical fruit. You don't find it here. In cold climates, you find apples. Whereas in tropical climates, you find what is called wood apple. In Telugu, it is called Velagapandu. So that is one fruit, Kapitha. And then another fruit is Badara, Jujube fruit. It's a kind of wild berry. These berries, they don't have a seed, whereas that berry has a seed. Lot of seed will be there, one seed. Very hard seed it is. So only a little bit soft stuff is available for eating. And so take that fruit, berry size, and take that soft stuff and throw the seed. Like that you have to eat. Very difficult to eat it also, not so easy to eat. So this is the food, just enough to keep the body going. Atmavrutyanusarena. It is not meant as an enjoyment. Food should not be considered as enjoyment. Food should be considered as a means of survival. That change in attitude should come. It should come in advanced societies, whether it is India or America or Canada. the more sophisticated social groups who are having this problem of overeating and that. Some of the sadhus also have that problem. It is not about sadhu or grihastha. It is about overeating. And so we all have to be very cautious about it. First of all, we have to constantly tell ourselves about overeating. We have to tell ourselves, I am doing this unhappy job on your behalf. I am doing it. You have to do it on yourself. I am doing it because I love people, they should remain healthy and all that. That's why I tell. They eat properly. Don't overeat, eat properly. And probably even while telling people, I am telling myself, probably. Anyway, so Atma Vrutti Anusarena, Atma is body. Vrutti means requirement. Anusarena means according to the requirement of the body. Not according to the requirement of the mind. Requirement of the body. So, when it comes to eating, you should go by the demands of the body, not the demands of the mind. There is always the gulf between body and mind. Body says enough. Mind says some more. Body says enough. You know how? It throws up that signal. What is that? Yawning, eh? Not yawning. Gulping. That is the signal. It says, now it is enough. And also the feeling will be there. Now it is enough. You can feel that. And you ate a little more, it becomes heavy. That heaviness is the signal that you have overeaten. That is the signal. And the blurping is the signal. Now you stop. So, or your own signal need not be blurping. It all depends upon a given person's body condition. So, you get the signal. Body says enough. Mind says some more. Generally, what you call dessert is not required by the body. That is the mind. So, strictly speaking, you can dispense with dessert idea itself. You don't need it. Because that is the real villain, real culprit, the dessert. Already the person is satiated, he doesn't need any further food, then he starts the dessert. When he has eaten enough, then begins the so-called dessert. And generally, the dessert is always very heavy food it is. Very rich and heavy food. That is exactly what you don't need. So that is the message. Atma Vrutti Anusarena. And this is how he worshipped Ishvara the first month. Vidiyancha tathamasam shashthe shashthe bhapodine Trunapannadivishirnaihi kritannah abhyachayat vibhum. Then the second month, he was breaking his stint of contemplation once in the six days. So continuously contemplating upon Ishvara for 6 days, non-stop. And then he breaks, and then he eats some food. Now what is the food? No more fruits. Now, food is a salad. Trana, parna, adivihi. Only salad he was eating. The two, he doesn't pluck the branches. He doesn't pluck the plants. Whatever leaves have fallen on of their own, those leaves he takes and he eats them. That is the food. So, simply speaking, eating a lot of salad and keeping quiet. As much salad as one can eat. If you can keep quiet, that is enough. No more food. You drink a lot of water, and that is the end of the food. That too, once in 6 days. And now, he is continuing the penance. Trutiyan chanayan masam navame navame hani abhakshaptamashloka mupadhavat samadhina. Then the third month is going on. He is breaking the austerities once in 9 days. And during that breaking, he drinks only water, no further food. And he continues to worship Ishvara. சதுர்த்தமபி வைமாசம் த்வாதசே த்வாதசே ஹனி. சோ 3, 6, 9, 12 நாம் வாயு பக்ஷோ ஜிதஸ்வாச தியாயன் தேவம் அதாரயத். நவ தி 4th மந்த் இஸ் கோயிங் ஆன். சோ ஹி பிரேக்ஸ் தி கான்டெம்ப்ளேஷன் ஒன்ஸ் இன் 12 மந்த்ஸ் அண்ட் தென் நவ் ஹி டசன்ட் ஈட் எனிதிங், ஹி டசன்ட் ஈவன் ட்ரிங்க் வாட்டர், ஹி ஜஸ்ட் ரிமைன்ஸ் only air is what all he takes in, nothing more. Air alone he takes in, nothing more. No intake, no further intake. You see, there is a, of course, obviously there is some hyperbole, hyperbole, which is the hallmark of Puranic narrative that is there. But it is not entirely implausible also, because in India, they keep this fasting, especially in Jain communities. The Jain sadhus do that. What they do, they keep fasting. In public, openly they keep it. One sadhu kept fasting for 365 days. You cannot believe it. Just drinks water, warm water. That is all he gets. And he keeps fasting. They do it all the time. Under 365, that is how it is shown. He lives in public, before the public, and he drinks water 365 days. Very interesting, amazing thing they do. But many Jain sadhus keep fast for 1 week, 2 weeks, in very routine. You see what happens, that the craving for food will be there. And you have to challenge it. This craving for food, you have to challenge it. Like any addiction, this is also an addiction. Food is an addiction. For example, carbohydrates is an addiction. You crave for carbohydrates. And so you have to challenge it. Challenge that addiction. And keep away. And challenge yourself. And keep away. There will be craving for the first 2-3 days, and afterwards there will be no craving. Afterwards it's only a question of weakness, and now you stop the activity, you don't do any actions. Therefore the weakness is also now addressed properly. As you expend the energy, you need to put in the fuel. Now you don't expend the energy. It is like a car which is not driving, which is just sitting there. Now that car doesn't consume any gas. You need not put in any gas because it is not moving. The body becomes like that. No actions are performed except breathing in and out, just lying down and contemplate. Even the mind is resolved. Even thinking is also energy. Even thinking is stopped. And you abide in the thoughtless being. Therefore, now no energy is expended. Therefore, you need not put in any fuel, any food. So the craving will be there for 2-3 days. After that, the craving is gone. You don't need any energy because you are not expending any energy. Now you can prolong the life like that. So just drinking warm water, the temperature, warm water they drink, and even in summer they drink only warm water, that keeps the guy going. There is something in it. Many people do that. And this fasting, I don't know how it works in Christian mystics, but in India they all of them do that. பஞ்சமே மாஸ்யனு ப்ராப்தே ஜிதஸ்வாசோ ருபாத்மஜஹ த்யாயன் ப்ரஹ்மபதைகேன பஸ்தௌ ஸ்தானு விவாசலஹ. இன் தி 5th மந்த் ஹி வாஸ் ஜஸ்ட் இன்ஹேலிங் அண்ட் எக்ஸேலிங் ஓன்லி, நோ ஃபுட், நோ வாட்டர். அண்ட் நவ் ஹீஸ் இன் மெடிடேஷன் பை ஸ்டாண்டிங் ஆன் 1 foot. ஸ்தானு விவா, திஸ் இஸ் தி வ்ருக்ஷாசன, தட் இஸ் அன் ஆசன. யூ ஸ்டாண்ட் ஆன் 1 foot. So, and you just stand there, that's all. Nothing else, just standing. And continuously standing and contemplating. in the Dhruvopakhyana books you will find this figure, Dhruva standing on one foot. You see, in India, if you go to Kumbh Mela, you come across some of these Mahatmas, some of the sadhus. There is a sadhu who is standing for the last few years. He just stands. He doesn't do anything else, just stands. Doesn't sit, doesn't lie down, just standing. Continuously he is standing. So, on both feet. Then there are sadhus who stand on one foot. Very amazing things. These things are, penance is performed, austerities are performed like that. Sarvato mana akrishya hrudi bhutendriyashayam dhyayam bhagavato rupam na drakshit kinchana param. Now, as you meditate, the mind becomes what it dwells upon. Suppose the mind is dwelling upon, say, some form. The mind acquires that form. That is how the mind functions. You dwell upon the path, then the mind acquires the shape of the path. You dwell upon money, so the mind is now in the money form. You dwell upon a particular pleasure, so mind becomes that object of pleasure. You are thinking of your beloved, then the mind becomes the shape of the beloved. So that is how mind functions. Now you are contemplating upon a mantra, then the mind becomes the mantra. You contemplate upon that presence, pure being, the mind becomes the presence, the being. That is how the contemplation is done. Now, the mind is not allowed to wander here and there. It is drawn back, taken in, and so no going out. And it is made to dwell in the heart on Ishvara's form and Ishvara's name alone. Take to the name of Ishvara and just dwell upon that name. Like Rama, Rama, Rama. Take to the name of Ishvara. Or you may take a small mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Just to dwell upon it. Constantly. Don't break the spell. Continuously dwell upon that name. In the case of Dhruva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Constantly. That is the only thing. Nothing else is there. So, like that he did. That is how the sixth month has passed by. Sahasra Shirshapi Tato Garutmata Madhonvanam Bhrutyadi Drukshaya Gataha. See, this is the vision. When you contemplate upon Ishvara in a particular form, Ishvara will appear in that form. Ishvara is everywhere. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, like you are in the middle of the ocean, the shoreless ocean. Whichever direction you look, it is the shoreless ocean. That is the Nirguna Ishvara, the attributeless Ishvara. And now suddenly, within the shore, in that shoreless ocean, you see an iceberg. That is also ocean only. But a crystallized ocean it is. Take it like that. Don't go into the physics of iceberg and all that. Just take it like that example. People who stretch the example don't know how to listen to this subject. Example is meant to make a point. That's all. So the iceberg. So that iceberg is also ocean only. But it is crystallized. It appears with a particular form. It is also water, nothing but water. But still, it appears as though it is something more than water because of the shape of the iceberg. So now the iceberg appears. Within the shoreless ocean, the iceberg appears. Similarly, the presence, timeless and formless presence, universal presence it is, that presence. It has no bounds, you know, the boundless presence. Is Ishvara. That is how the truth is. But if you are contemplating upon Ishvara in a given form, then Ishvara will appear before you in that form. In fact, it is said that there is a story in one of the Puranas. One gentleman, he was told that Ishvara is in the form of a goat. That is what was told to him. The Guru told him, Ishvara is in the form of a goat. And therefore, gave him a mantra, like Om Namah Shivaya. How does Shiva look like? Shiva looks like a goat. Okay? Namah Shivaya. He is doing contemplation. Now, Shiva appears before him. Like shoreless ocean appears as the nice ocean. Similarly, the presence, boundless presence called Shiva appears before him as the goat. That's it. So, that is how Ishvara appears. Now this boy is contemplating upon Ishvara, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, as a Shri Hari. Therefore in that form, Ishvara appears. He is a Sahasra Shirsha. He is in the form of infinite heads. Every human head is Ishvara's head only. But he appears before the Dhruva exactly in the form in which Dhruva is contemplating upon Ishvara. Savaidhiya yoga vipaka tevraya pratpatma koshe spuhitam taditrabham tirohitam sahasaivo palakshya bahisthitam tadavastham tadarsha. See, the interesting thing is, even when God appears before you, you have to acknowledge. Then only God will be acknowledged. Otherwise, he will be standing there, not knowing what to do. Right? So it's true. Suppose the diamond necklace is there. It's $1 million or $100,000 value of diamond necklace. It is put there. Now, it is a valuable diamond necklace only when I look at it and acknowledge it. If I don't look at it, I do not acknowledge it. Does it have a value? Doesn't have a value. You see, a dollar note has value only when somebody looks at it and acknowledges it. Then only it has value. Otherwise it has no value. So if you keep the dollar note in your pocket for 100 years, there is no value. But suppose this dollar note or $10 note, whatever, you give to that person, the coffee shop owner, and he receives it and looks at it. Okay, take coffee, he gives. Over and above that, some change also he gives. That proves that this piece of paper has value. Then only it has value. Somebody has to look at it and acknowledge it. Similarly, God is standing there before Dhruva. And Dhruva is not looking at God. He was contemplating upon God in his heart. And God is standing outside. He is not looking at it. Now what to do? So what Dhruva did, he has disturbed his meditation. He disturbed. Then Dhruva found that he is unable to concentrate upon the God's name and form anymore. He could not concentrate. Then he thought, maybe okay, I will take a break. And so he opened the eyes. Tad avastham tadarsha. Now he saw before him Ishvara standing before him exactly the way he was contemplating upon Ishvara in his mind. That is how he is standing. That is how it is. You see, this is like this. This is called drishti srishti. Anyway, suppose you think that the wife appeared before you and then you saw her. Wife or husband, whatever. So you think like that. It is not like that. You project and then she is the wife. She is the wife and you see. Or you project and then she is the wife. Which is the truth? So worldly people think that she is the wife and I see. Okay, suppose this guy went for divorce. Now she is not wife, she is ex-wife. So now what is that? So she is not the wife. So as long as you are projecting wife, she is the wife. Now you stop projecting, for some reason you stop projecting, she is not wife anymore. Now you project as ex-wife, then she is the ex-wife. Right? So you think that she is the wife and therefore I see. I say you see, therefore she is the wife. You see, one of the brahmacharis told me, no, when you drive the car, you don't know that there is a bump. And therefore you went, but even without you were knowing, there is a bump. You did not know, but it is there. That's why your car went and bumped into that bump. That is what he told me. Okay, you got the point? That is exactly opposite of what I am saying, right? So, there is the bump. And you don't know that there is the bump. Though you don't know it is there. That's why you bumped into it. Then I told him, hey Brahmachari, you have to learn to, you should be a philosopher. You should learn to think a little more deeply. There is no bump until and unless you bump into it. Kya baat bol rahe bhai? You are talking with a philosopher, don't forget that. There is no bump unless you bump into it. First you have to bump into it. Then it is the bump. Without your bumping into it, there is bump. What are you talking? Anyway, so this is there. So Ishvara, Ishvara is there. You have to acknowledge. You see, this is temple. Why? Why it is temple? Because all the devotees make it a temple. That is the shrine. Because all the devotees make it a shrine. Make it means the seat as a shrine. Then only it becomes the shrine. And then, you see, what is marriage? All the guests come. Why do they come? Because from this moment onwards, I will look at her as wife. I will look at her as wife. Then all the 100 people, they ask him, now how do you look at her? Now I look at her as my wife. Are you sure? Yes, I am sure. I am sure. Okay, from now on look at her as wife only. You told that before all of us, so look at her as wife. Now it is fixed. This is the meaning of that social function called marriage. That is the meaning. It is about, she is what she is. It is about his looking at her. So, anyway, this is called Drishti Srishti Vada. Anyway, this is Mandukya. So, poor God is standing there, and Dhruva, if he doesn't open the eyes, then God is not standing. There is no standing, there is no God. The Dhruva has to open the eyes, then only, oh God, then it is God. The power of your Chaitanya is that. You have to know that. So, do you have a God without a devotee? You tell me. Do you have a God without a devotee? You cannot have a God without a devotee. You cannot have a God. So, there is a song to that effect, Hindi song. Deva Suna, Deva Suna, Deva Suna, Bhakta Bina. Did you hear of God? Did you hear of God? Did you hear of God without devotee? That is the song. No, you cannot have God without devotee. Then Dhruva, he opened his eyes. Therefore, Bhagavan made his meditation. He created an obstacle to his meditation. And that absorption is gone. Then he opened the eyes. Very interesting. I have digressed the topic, but we will come back to it. Tad-darshane-nāgata-sat-phasaha-kṣitāva-vandatāṅgam vinamayya-dandavat. There was a... Dhruva was taken aback. He was taken. He was flabbergasted to see God before him in that form in which he is worshipping. And then immediately he collected his thinking a little and then fell on the ground. The Sashtanga Namaskara, you know. So, like Dandavata, like you take a stick and drop it, leave it, then it will fall on the ground. And do Namaskara means surrender. That is the meaning of Namaskara. So he surrendered before God, then he got up. Drubhyam prapashyan pribibannivarbhakaha chumbannivasyena bhajairivashlisham. Now he is looking at Bhagavan. He is looking at him. As though he is partaking of Bhagavan through eyes. Okay? He is consuming, taking in. Generally we take in juice through mouth. But now he is taking in Bhagavan through his eyes. And then he is about to embrace Bhagavan with his hands. As though he is standing there, but it looked as if he is already embracing him with his hands. And also he looked as if he is taking in and also he is holding very strongly as though. So that is how he looked. It is like a young man is looking at his beloved. The same description can apply. He is looking at her, there is a physical distance, all right, but it is as though he is embracing her, as though he is taking her in, something like that. This is the love between a devotee and God is always compared with the love between the beloveds. That is how it is compared. Chumban is also there, that's why I said,
Satam vivakshantamatatvidam harihi jnatvasya sarvasya ca hridyavasthitah krtanjalim brahmamayena kambuna pasparsya balam kripaya kapole.
Then Dhruva was wanting to say something. Generally you say some nice words. Suppose a great man appears before your door as a guest. Then you open the door and you are stunned to see this great man before your door. Then what you do? Sir, please come in. You want to say something. I know you, sir. You are so great. Your greatness is known all over the world. You are welcome at my door. Like that, something you want to say, you know. But then words are not coming because he is a boy. He doesn't know how to say the right things. Therefore, atadvidam, he wants to say a prayer or an encomium, but he doesn't know how to say. And he is not trained well, he is not educated to that level. 5-year-old boy, you know. So now 5.5-year-old. Panchavarshaha, 6 months in austerities. Then Bhagavan, he recognized his difficulty. Therefore Bhagavan, what he did, he has this shankha in his hand, conch. I told you, conch, Bhagavan has a conch in his hand. He holds conch like that. That is the form. So that is how the devotee worships. It's not that Bhagavan will be holding a conch all the time in his hand, wherever he goes, or whenever he just... That too he has to hold like this only. He cannot hold like this. He has to hold always like this. That is not the idea. The idea is that is how the devotee contemplates. And Bhagavan obliges the devotee. You contemplate that way, so Bhagavan appears that way. Now that conch, why conch? Why not anything else? So conch stands for knowledge of the Vedas. All Vedas have originated from Om. All Vedas. So Om, now that Om expands into all mantras, Om only. So that Omkara is symbolized by the conch. Conch stands for Omkara, not shape, etc. Omkara written looks like, no, not like that. It is not a writing symbol, you know, it is a sound symbol. Therefore when you blow the conch, that is exactly the Omkara. Therefore, that long omkara, dirgha, dhvani, that om, that is the conch. And therefore, this conch he used to touch on his cheeks. As the conch touches the cheek, suddenly Dhruva becomes a scholar. He knows all the prayers now. He knows everything. And Savai tadaiva, yeah, brahmamayena kambuna. Kambu is the conch, which is brahmamaya, which is the symbol of Veda, where Brahma is Veda. So, pasparsha balam, with love, and with compassion and love, or a small boy, he has done such a severe penance or austerity. So with that love, Bhagavan has touched him on the cheek with the conch.
Savai tadaiva pratipaditam giram daivim parijnata paratma nirnayaha tam bhakti bhavobhya grunada sattvaram parishrutor shravasam dhruvakshitihi.
The moment the conch was touched on his cheek, the conch touched on his cheek, Dhruva, he gained all the knowledge. Parijnata paratma nirnayaha. Now he knows in a very ascertained way the truth of the Atma, Paramatma. Paratma is the Paramatma. He knows the truth of the Paramatma. What is Paramatma? Which is Ishvara, timeless, spaceless presence, which is none other than my own Swarupa. So that way he clearly understood all that. That means he gained Omkara. Through Omkara he gained the knowledge. That way you have to understand. But the story, it continues. So now his heart is filled with devotion, bhakti bhavaha. And with that devotion, he is now praising the glory of Ishvara in a very calm and quiet way, asatvaram. That all that hurry and the disturbedness, he was very big hurry when he suddenly saw Ishvara. Now all that is replaced by quietude and calmness. He is very composed. And so with such a composure, he started praising the glory of Ishvara. Now comes the what is called Dhruva Stuti, the encomium of Dhruva. Encomium of Ishvara by Dhruva. That is the Dhruva Stuti. Very famous in Bhagavatam. So in all these encomiums, so Ishvara's glory is brought out. That is where the entire teaching of Vedanta comes. Therefore the entire story, we students of Vedanta, we study this Purana because our interest lies in this stuti, in the encomium, where the vision of Vedanta is brought out very profoundly. Of course the story, the context leading up to the encomium, all of that provides the background and also describes the values related to the teaching. So like Bhagavad Gita first chapter is like that, you know. The real Gita begins with the 11th verse of the second chapter. Up to that, it is just providing the ambience, ground, preparing the ground. So like that, and also in that ground preparation, lots of values are described. And the training and disciplining of the mind is also part of that. Anyway, that is how we understand the text. Now comes Dhruva Stuti. In that Dhruva Stuti, the very first verse is considered a very valuable prayer. Very first verse. So you may say that Yontah Pravishya Mama Vacha Mimam Prasuptam. Yeah, those who do not know Sanskrit Lipi, Devanagari script, they have a difficulty in understanding it. Anyway, you can only understand the translation part of it. Sanjeevayat yakhila shakti dharaha swadhamna anyamshcha hasta charana shravanatvagadin pranannamo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. You see, if there is one prayer which reflects the vision of Vedanta very beautifully, that is this verse. So, bhagavate namaha, my prostration unto God. Bhagavate means God. So, what is this God? Purushayatubhyam. Unto you, the God. You, because God is standing there. So unto you, the God. And then, you see, in the religions you can see some differences. It all depends upon that cultural ambience and all that, God is everywhere. But in a religious context, you can see the difference. For example, what they call Middle East, where the Abrahamic faiths have originated, in the Middle East, God himself won't appear on the earth. Either it is God's messenger, or it is God's relative who appears on earth. God himself doesn't appear on earth. That is Middle East. You go a little more east, full east, not Middle East, full east you go, God himself appears. That is how it is. That is the one important difference. Anyway, but even when God appears, he is none other than the Parabrahma, which pervades all, and also the Atma, the inner divinity. See, the other day I was reading a book by the Nobel laureate, who is Octavio Paz. Did you hear the name? Octavio Paz, a Mexican Nobel laureate. He got the Nobel Prize in Literature some 3-4 years back. He is an Indiaphile. And he lived in India and wrote great poems and book also. And in one poem he says, I see Lord Shiva and Parvati on the temple wall. He sees Shiva and Parvati. So on that he writes the poem. I am putting in my words, exact words I don't remember. So I see Lord Shiva and Parvati, the gods. They are the gods, you know. Male and female principle. Gods means not plural. So the Shiva and Parvati, the gods. And I understand they are the images of the divinity which is within oneself. That is what he says. Very amazing thing. So within oneself, there is the Shiva and Parvati in oneself. And they are now visualized outside as the image. As the images, the physical images. What is Shiva? Consciousness. And what is Parvati? Life. Now, where are consciousness and life? In you? And so, you look within, you are conscious of everything, the entire world, you are conscious of the entire universe, galaxy, you are conscious of the galaxy. You see, a billion-year-old star, you are conscious of that star. You black hole, you are conscious of the black hole. That is the consciousness. And then life. So, that is what you are inside, within. You are a conscious, living being. And what is Shiva and Parvati? They are images of that consciousness and that life. If you understand that, then that is the real spirit of God consciousness. You are really conscious of God. If you don't understand that the outside form is an image of the inner divinity. If you don't understand that, then start taking the images as very literal. Image itself is real. Now it is not image anymore. If it is all, then that is not image. It is the real. If you take it literally as the real, then you become an idolater. That is idolatry. And therefore, you have to understand that. That is the idolatry. If you understand the image, if you understand the form as the image of the inner divinity, then that is not idolatry. So nobody can say you are idolating. We are not idolating. Whereas, if you take the image literally, then you are indeed an idolater. It becomes idolatry. So we have to understand that point. It is not about who is calling us idolaters, etc. People will say whatever they want to say. It's a democratic country, you know. That is not the point. The point is what you know. That is the point. So, anyway, now you look at that verse. Purusha ayatujyam. I prostrate unto you, the God. Who is the Purusha? The word of Purusha is very important. Purusha means Purishete, it is Purusha. It is like saying that I keep a fan there, India, you know. India means fan. Even fan will be there. And most of the time when you sit, you have to put the fan on and sit, otherwise it will be hot. Anyway, tropical countries, no? So the fan is going. Suppose somebody asks me, where is the wind? Show me the wind. So where should I take him? I need not take him anywhere. I say, come here. Come, stand by my side. Yes. Now, do you feel the sense of touch? The wind, you don't feel it? Yes, I feel. That is the wind. Similarly, so where is this Ishvara Bhagavan? Here. Puri Shete. Where is Ishvara? Here. You have to discover Ishvara here, not outside. In fact, first Ishvara should be discovered in the heart. Then only you can discover Ishvara outside. First discovered in the heart. You see, somebody went to the temple along with a friend. This friend is an agnostic or an atheist, whatever. And he asked him, where is your God? That is God. What? That is God? Yeah. That is God. Are, how that is God? That is what this agnostic says. This conflict cannot be resolved, you know, because unless there is God here, you cannot have God there. So the agnostic doesn't have God in his heart, therefore he doesn't see God outside. Whereas the devotee has God here, therefore he sees God outside. You should know that. Even when you go to the temple, it is the temple because there is God in you. That is the shrine inside the temple because there is God in you. That form is God because there is God in you. Suppose there is no God in you, then that is not the temple, that is not the shrine, that is not the form. That is not the God's form. Some silly form it is. Therefore, people should understand this point. Therefore, there must be God in the heart. Then only you first discover God in you, then you look around. You will discover God everywhere. Sri Ramakrishna was asked one time for a pilgrimage to Kashi, Varanasi, you know, the pilgrimage center. Great place. Like Jerusalem in Middle East, it is Varanasi in East, that is India. So he said, for what? For having darshan of God. Now, do you know God now and here? If you don't know God now and here, just catching a train and traveling overnight and reaching Kashi, you will not know God there also. If you know God now and here, then you need not to travel to Kashi. That is what he said. And then they are all disappointed. Then he said, okay, chale, we will go to Kashi, but we don't come back. We stay there only. Because God is there. And God is there, why you want to come back? We will stay there only. We don't come back. I won't come back, I will stay there only. You also can stay. Where we will see, wherever. Then they said, no, we stay here only. So, you have to discover God in your heart first. Therefore, Purushaya Tubhyam. Purusha means Puri. This is the Puri, Puram. This is the city. City of gates. This is a gate, this is a gate, like that. City of gates. So, that's why all forms come within, like that kind of description. So, this is city. Is the king of this city is God. He abides in the heart. And so that's why God is abiding here. That's why God is called Purusha. Purusha Suktam is that only. Purusha Suktam. Therefore, Purusha Yatubhyam. Then when God is sitting here, then what is he doing here? Yontav Pravishya Mama Vacham Imam Prasuptam Sanjeevayati Akhila Shakti Dharaha. That God, he holds all powers. He holds all powers. Akhila Shakti. All power. In fact, all power is a twofold power. You have fire. What is its power? Heat and light, twofold. Similarly, the God who is the presence, that being, has two powers. What are they? Consciousness and life. They are the two powers. Consciousness. So, you are conscious of everything. That is the power. That is the power. And then life. You can walk, you can talk, etc. So, mama vacham imam prasuptam. My speech was dormant, hibernating. No speech. No knowledge, no speech. Speech has both. There is knowledge and there is life. Both are there in speech. While you are speaking, it is life and also it is knowledge. So before God's blessing, there is no life in this body. There is no, but for God's blessing, there is no life here, there is no knowledge here. But because of God's blessing, there is life and there is knowledge. And that's why the speech, which was lying idle, hibernating, now it springs to life. Sanjeevayati, because of God. So, I am able to say a prayer. Where is God now? Outside, before the prayer, as the object of the prayer, or inside, as the origin of the prayer. Yeah, that is how it is. Outside as the object of the prayer, as the image, and inside as the very origin of the prayer. Because prayer is consciousness and life, and God is the being who is the origin of the consciousness and life. It is very impersonal. It is not personal. I am a person, God is another person. That is one way of looking at it. That is not how we do in Vedanta. It is Upanishad, you know. So here, neither I am a person nor God is a person. I am the impersonal consciousness life and God is the impersonal consciousness life. Therefore, as long as I feel a division, I prostrate unto God. Once I don't feel the division, then I abide as the God Himself. That is the divinity. So, akhila shakti dharaha, so vacham prasuptam sanjeevayati, gave life to this speech and gave knowledge to the mind. And so a prayer is made possible. And not only speech, anyauscha hastacharana shravana svagadin pranan. Prana is indriya. Like hands are able to hold on to things. Hands are able to function. That is the life, because of the life. That the life is God. And then charana, the legs are able to walk. See, suppose I move the hand like this. Now, what is it that is moving? The moving is not by the hand by itself. It is not the hand which is moving by itself. Hand is what? Some muscles and bone. The muscles and bone, are they independent and self-sufficient to move like that? No. The life of prana that is there is the prana which moves the hand. But then, behind the prana, there is the sankalpa to move the hand. Sankalpa means a thought. That resolve, I move the hand. That is the resolve. That is the sankalpa. And that sankalpa activates prana, which in turn activates the physical hand. And behind the sankalpa, thought, there is consciousness. That waking consciousness, because sankalpa happens in the field of waking consciousness. And that waking consciousness has its origin in Atma, which is Brahman. Therefore, when I move the hand like this, it is Brahman who made the hand move, not the ego. Therefore, I am not the one who moves the hand. It is God who moves the hand. Charana, legs, same way. Tvak, the skin, it is becoming conscious of the sense of touch. because Bhagavan as consciousness is reflecting in every pore of the skin. Adi, all other sense organs and organs of action are included. This is what God is. So God is the life of this body-mind. He is the consciousness of this body-mind. He is the being, the presence, which is the ground of this body-mind. That is what God is, and that God I prostrate and praise the glory of.
ఏకస్త్వమేవ భగవన్ నిదమాత్మశక్త్యా మాయాక్షయోను గుణయా మహదాద్యశేషం సృష్ట్వానువిశ్య పురుషస్తదసద్గుణేషు నానేవ దారుషు విభావసువద్ విభాసి.
హే భాగవతం విల్ బి లైక్ దట్ ఓన్లీ ఎ బిట్ టఫ్ నో ఇంగ్లీష్ లైక్ మిల్టన్స్ ఇంగ్లీష్ అట్ ఈజీ వెరీ టఫ్ Carlyle, Milton, they write very tough English. Not easy moving. Anyway, Shakespeare writes very smooth moving English. Very smooth. Anyway, so, Bhagavan is one. You see, there is life and consciousness here. There is life consciousness in every other person. Life and consciousness in all birds, animals, even trees. Trees have life, obviously, and trees have consciousness also. So, because they know winter is coming, they know. And so, they stop producing further chlorophyll in the leaves. And then slowly bring a transformation of that chlorophyll. It turns into other dyes, other colored things. And that's why you have all fall colors. How do you know there is fall? Who knows before? You know or trees know? Trees know. Before us, trees know. When the trees know, we know. Also, trees know. They know very well in which direction is the sun. They know. And they grow in that direction. They want sun. They love sun. So they grab the sun. They go in there. If this direction is covered by shade, then the branches don't go up here. They don't move in this, they move this way. Also, trees know in which direction is gravity. Gravity is towards the center, and always the tree is against the gravity. You put the seed horizontally in the soil, it still sprouts vertically. It takes a detour and sprouts vertically. Always, against gravity it grows. It doesn't grow with gravity. Against gravity it grows. So it knows the direction of gravity. Trees know quite a few other things. A few other things also they know. Therefore there is life and consciousness in every tree, branch of tree, in every bush, plant, even a blade of grass. There are birds, conscious and alive. Animals roaming around, conscious and alive. Every human being, conscious and alive. In all these life forms, the same God is abiding. Because God is the origin of consciousness and life. That is what God is. Now, you see, wherever there is consciousness and life, that is the source where God is, as the source of consciousness and life, as the source. You see, consciousness and life are here. Their source is heaven, in heaven, or in Vaikuntha, or Kailasa. This is how a theologian looks at it. Consciousness and life are here. But their source, which is the creator, who created consciousness and life, he is elsewhere. Whereas in Vedanta, we say, consciousness and life, along with their source, is here. That's why Upanishadic wisdom doesn't clash with Darwin's theory. There is no issue with Darwin's theory. Darwin's theory becomes a problem, theory of evolution, it becomes a problem for theological people, because for the theological people, the life and its order must have the source in heaven. Whereas Darwin's theory says, no, it's not like that. The intelligence of the evolution is found here itself. That is what Darwin says. That's why they have an issue with Darwin. The Vatican, etc., had an issue with Darwin. Whereas the Hindu Mahatmas don't have any issue with Darwin. They love Darwin, I think. Because this is what Darwin says. Anyway, so the source of life and consciousness is God. Now, God is in every living being as the very ground of life and consciousness. And now, you see, God is infinite. You should not think that God made himself into multiple pieces and put in every place. That is not the way. This is how you have to understand. One sun reflecting in a billion dewdrops. One sun. So now sun did not make himself into a billion pieces and put everywhere. No. Sun remains the sun and yet reflects in a billion dewdrops. Similarly, the infinite reflects in multiple bodies and multiple forms. Still remains the infinite. Still remains the infinite. You see, that's why you have to discover the infinite in the finite. That is what you have to discover. I told earlier that you have to discover the changeless in the changeful, the permanent in the transient, the timeless in the time-bound. Similarly, you have to discover the infinite in the finite. How to discover. That is the beauty of life and consciousness. I will explain to you how. You take a sesame seed. A sesame seed. Very small it is. It has a kernel and some pit inside. All that. It is there. Small, very small sesame. And then you take an artificial seed. Just identical. You cannot distinguish between the two. In America, they make artificial things. They make artificial tree. You cannot distinguish it from the regular tree. So thoroughly they make the artificial thing. So, you make a sesame seed, which is artificial. And now both are there in your hand. How do you know which is real and which is artificial? How do you know? Smell is not a problem. They put in that artificial seed the smell of this sesame seed also. They inject a micro drop of sesame oil into it and make it smell like a sesame oil seed. They make it smell like that. You see, in some of the Hollywood movies, when the gun is fired on the screen, you smell gunpowder. You know that? So they are capable of that. When the rose is there on this rose, a bunch of roses are there on the screen, then you feel a rose smell in the heart. They make it happen. Therefore, you cannot distinguish between the two. When you put them in the palm, you cannot say which is real and which is artificial. But there is a way of saying it. You put it in the soil. Okay? Now you pursue this argument. The artificial seed, it just dies. It doesn't even die. It just remains. And it disintegrates and becomes the soil. Whereas, the real seed also happens the same way. Even that disintegrates and becomes the soil. But a sprout comes. That is the real seed. And then, time it takes, time element you have to add, the sprout comes, and then it becomes a plant. And now it becomes juice flowers, sesame flowers, yellow. And then they become those sesame seeds. And do you know how many sesame seeds will come? How many sesame seeds will come? Do you know? 1,000. Minimum. Let us say 1,000 seeds come. Now, you tell me, what is the difference between any one of these 1,000 seeds and that original sesame seed? Is there any difference? No difference. No difference. Magic of life. The original sesame seed, it is reflected in its entirety in every one of those 1,000 seeds. Okay? Now plant those 1,000 seeds. How many they become? 1,000,000. Plant the 1,000,000. How many they become? 1,000,000,000. Plant the 1,000,000,000. How many? This is real. I'm not exaggerating. How many they become? 1,000,000,000,000. Plant the 1,000,000,000,000. How many they become? 250,000,000,000. Plant the 250,000,000,000. How many they become? 1,000,000,000,000. Plant them. They become 1,000,000,000,000. 1,000,000,000,000. And then they become 1,000,000,000,000. Now one seed becomes the 1,000,000,000,000 seeds. And every one of these 1,000,000,000,000 seeds is as complete as that one seed. Now, is that not infinite? That is the infinite. Now, what is the difference between the real seed and the artificial seed? The real seed is the finite in which the infinite reflects. The artificial seed is the finite in which the infinite doesn't reflect. You are that real seed. You are that. You are that infinite. You mistake yourself to be the finite. You are that infinite. You see, you imagine your great-great-grandfather who is behind 1,000 generations. Imagine him. Is he not the seed from which an entire humanity has originated? An entire humanity. You see, it is not surprising to postulate one human being as the origin of this entire human being. And that one human being includes both male and female in himself or herself. Whatever in itself you say. And the name of that being, don't call it human anymore. Being, you say, because he is the origin of every living being. That being is called Purusha. And the prayer is the Purusha Sukta. And therefore, don't be surprised when I say you are the infinite in the finite. You identify with the finite, and therefore you lose that infinitude. It is your own Swarupa. You are that infinite. And that infinite is God. And therefore, you are the God. You are the God doesn't mean you the person is the same as the God the person. No. You the person can never be the same as God the person. Two persons are never same. Two persons are two persons. But you the impersonal reality is the same as the impersonal reality called God. You, the infinite impersonal being, is the same as the God. That is the way you have to understand. Here the example given is, Naneva Darushu Vibhavasu Vat Vibhasi. You are one fire. Vibhavasu is one fire. But appearing as many, in many, many pieces of wood. It is like there are fires going on everywhere. Like a forest fire, you imagine. Here is a small fire, there a big fire, there a small fire again, there is a big fire, small fire, big fire, medium fire, all kinds of fires are going on in the forest. What are all these fires? It is a single fire. Single fire, appearing as small, big, medium, even very, very small, a little more small, very big. It appears as many. Not because it is many, but because it is reflecting in different pieces of wood or fuel. It is the variety of the fuel which creates the appearance of the variety of the fire. In fire there is no variety. That's why we are all different. We are all different. But we are not separate. Because in the ground we are all one. The apparent names and forms, we are all different. So that is how the Naneva Darushu Vibhavasu Vad Vibhasi. This is also called Maya. What is the Maya? The Maya is the one infinite appearing as many finite. That is the Maya. That is the magic. You know what magic is? There is no water, but he makes you see lot of water. There is no bird, but he makes you see bird. There is nothing, but he makes you see everything. That is called Maya. So, the reality is infinite, one without the second. But what you see is many, finite, 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 like that you see. That is the Maya. So, that Maya Kshyaya Uru Gunaya, it has many gunas, many means three. It has three gunas, Satvarajastama gunas. Therefore, I tell you, Bhagavan is sleeping in a rock. Okay? He is roaming around in an animal. He is flying in a bird. He is crawling in a creature. And he is thinking in a human being. Same Bhagavan. He is sleeping in a rock, tamoguna. He is roaming around in an animal. Rajoguna. He is thinking in a human being, Sattvaguna. Essentially, he is beyond all the gunas. So that is the verse. You may examine the verse at home again. Bhaktim muhu pravahatam payi ve prasangaha bhuyadananta mahata mamalashayana kenanjasolvana murumyasanam bhavabdhim Neshye bhavat kuna kathamruta panamattaha. Now, so we have seen some of the jnana, the jnana, the knowledge part. Now we come to bhakti. So knowledge and bhakti should go together. So, let there be that love, the flow of love, the flow of devotion in my heart constantly. Constantly one should be devoted. There is a thing called convenient bhakti. You should not be like that. Yesterday I described this convenient bhakti. So, I am hungry. Therefore I love my mom. And I go to the mom, she gives food and I love my mom and then I go away into the world. Forget about mom. So remember mom whenever I am hungry again. You should not be like that. That is chaitishness, you know. So, I contemplate upon Ishvara all the time. So I see a rose and oh, what a beautiful thing it is. The beauty is Ishvara. If you say beauty is rose, you are a samsari. If you say beauty is Ishvara, you are a bhakta. That is what it is. What a beautiful ocean or beach. So, you are a samsari. What a beauty of Ishvara reflected in this ocean and the beach. You are a devotee. So, your son is there. He is my son. You are a samsari. He is the son of God. Everybody is the son of God. You are a bhakta. Work is the same. Work is the same. You do the same work. Suppose he is your son or he is God's son. What difference it makes? You pay the tuition fee, you give him food, you give him pocket money, and then you bear with all his nuisance. You do all that anyway. That is same. That doesn't change. But your attitude makes all the difference. So bhakti hi pravahatam. Let the devotion to Ishvara be constantly flow in my heart. means you have to seek God in everything. You seek God, Ishvara. This is called God consciousness. There is no friend, there is no foe, there is only divinity. There is no swa, there is no para, there is only divinity. There is no living, there is no non-living, there is no living, there is only divinity. The mountain range called Himalaya is divinity. The river called Ganga is divinity. The fish is divinity. The Mahatma who is taking bath in the Ganga is divinity. The boatman who is rowing a boat in Ganga is divinity. Everything is divinity. So, this is how people, that is called God consciousness. Constant dwelling upon divinity. This is not against your worldly life. It is against the worldliness, not worldly life. It is not against relationship, like wife, children, etc. It is not against that. Therefore, it is not against the practice of an honest profession. It is not against any of those things. So, that constant devotion to Ishvara may come to me. Then, how will it come? By satsanga. So, sangha, prasanga, means constant association with people, devotees of pure heart. Amala ashayanam. Amala means pure. Ashaya is heart. So be associated with the devotees of pure heart. The heart must be pure. The heart must not be ridden with all kinds of divisions and sectarian thinking and all that. Friend foe thinking, all that should not be there. It must be very pure. How it is pure? Free from raga and dvesha. Free from attachment and aversion. That is the purity. So in a heart which is free from raga and dvesha, Bhagavan lives. That's why such Mahatmas are called as Sant. Sat, Sant. Sat is the presence of God. So those who are God conscious in everything, people of God consciousness, they are called Sant. In English they are called Saint. What is Sant in Hindi is the saint in English. Somebody asked him, what is the proof of God? A saint is the proof of God. That there are saints in this world proves that there is a God. Without a God, you cannot have a saint. Because saint is nothing but the embodiment of God consciousness. And therefore, that those Mahatmas, the saintly people who have a very pure heart, they are God conscious people, let there be association in my life with such God conscious people. You should associate with God conscious people. Suppose you associate with a gambler who visits a casino every day, you associate with him. Then what will happen? You will pick up some of that gambling. You know, some of these guys, there is a free bus. Free. Bus is free. So it begins, it starts in Allentown, near our place. Morning 8 o'clock. You go and sit in the bus. And it takes you to Atlantic City by 10:30. At 11. Then it starts there, night 8 o'clock. And takes back you 11 o'clock here. And people go by that bus. It is free. And suppose that group is there, you associate with that group, what will happen to you? You will soon be travelling in that bus. So you should associate the right way, the right kind of people you should associate. This is called satsanga, very important. People associate with the wrong groups, wrong kind of association. It is not about people bad or anything, the association is like that. So, worldly people, suppose there are people who are deeply involved in stock market speculation. Now you associate with them, then you pick up that that quality. People who are given to drinking, so you get that. We have a proverb in Telugu, you live with other people for 6 months, you become like them. So you should have, may I have the association of God, people of God consciousness. That is what he says. Thereby, I will be able to cross this ocean of samsara. This is samsara, the worldliness, is like an ocean. In this life, and also it will continue, you know, birth followed by death, death followed by birth, like that. This is a cycle of births and deaths, the cycle of pleasure and pain. This will continue. And this is the samsara. And there is only one way to cross this ocean of samsara. That is, intense devotion to Ishvara, constant companionship with pure-hearted people. This is the only way to cross this ocean of samsara. And also, be mad with, if you have to be mad with Ishvara, with God. Don't be mad with the things of the world. So, bhavat guna katha mruta pana mattaha. Matta is mad, intoxicated. If you have to be intoxicated, not with the things of the world, not with money, wealth, etc., not with pleasures of the world. By all means, be intoxicated the right way. Be intoxicated with devotion, with God consciousness. Be mad with God consciousness, with devotion. Don't be mad with the things of the world, with the pleasures of the world. So that can happen only when you keep the companionship of the pure-hearted people. That gives you the constant flow of God consciousness, devotion, that takes you to the other, that helps you cross the ocean of samsara. Tiryam nagat vijasari srupadeva daityamatyadibhiv parichitam sadasad visesham rupam sthavishthamajate mahadadhyanekam natav param paramavedmi nayatravadaha. God as manifest and God as unmanifest. See, this you have to understand cautiously. You can only see daylight. You cannot see light. You can only see daylight. Daylight is not light. Light is universal. It pervades the entire universe. That light which is all pervasive appears as daylight in the context of Earth's atmosphere. The Earth's atmosphere, it disperses or it reflects the light. And you see that. You do not see the light. See, if you sit in a rocket and go beyond the Earth's atmosphere, you will not find all sun. You will find all darkness. But if you extend an arm out of the rocket like that, the robotic arm will be there. When it is extended, that intercepts the light. And therefore you find it shining brilliantly, this arm. Now it is all darkness. All around it is all darkness. Okay? Now robotic arm I do like that. It is shining brilliantly. You remove it, all darkness. Why? Because light is there. You don't see it unless something reflects it. The atmosphere reflects, therefore you have daylight. Therefore daylight is, you can describe daylight as the manifest light. So now light unmanifest and light manifest. Okay? Similarly, Ishvara unmanifest. You cannot see. You cannot describe also. Nayatra vadaha. Vadaha means speech. So this we have seen many times. Speech cannot reach God. So nayatra vadaha. You cannot describe God unmanifest. You cannot see God unmanifest. So you cannot. But then God manifests as what? Just now we have seen as animals, Tiryak, Naga, trees and plants, Dvija, birds, Sarisrupa, crawling creatures, Deva, angels, Daitya, demons, Matya, human beings, Adi. If something else is not covered, you can put it. So when God is manifest in all these forms, you can visualize. Oh, God, 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 God. You can describe. Oh, God sleeping in the rocks. I told you just now. God flying in the air. Like that you can describe. And then all divisions, all differences are in place. Sadasadvisheshyam. This is the cause, that is the effect. The plant is the cause. Flower, effect. So God has the cause, God has the effect. Now flower is the cause, fruit is the effect. So God has the cause and God has the effect. Everything is God. Gold, necklace, God has gold, God has necklace. Everything is God, effect as well as cause. So this rupam sthavishtam, this gross form of God as this universe with all its variety, it is there before us. We can always relate to that. See, I tell you, in the context of this verse, I will tell you a statement. You think about it. There is no God outside this universe. Other than this universe, to know God is to be God. Got it? There is no God other than this universe. Outside this universe, to know God is to be God. So, you look at the universe and see that it is all God who is appearing as the multiple universe. Or, you just drop all mental processes, all mental effort, and just be the God. That's all. Therefore, there is nothing like traveling here, going there, meeting God and enjoying. There is no such thing. This is what it is. That is the less. Van nitya mukta parishuddha vibuddha atma. You are the atma. You see how it says? You are the atma. Hey Ishvara, you are the atma. Atma is the innermost reality of the individual. Is called atma. You are the atma. You see, the individual is born here, but not the innermost reality of the individual. Never born. Nitya mukta. And never contaminated also with punya and papa, parishuddha. And never affected by knowledge and ignorance, ever shining as the pure awareness, nitya buddha. So nitya shuddha buddha mukta atma, you are that. That is Shankara's phrase it is. Kutasthaha, you are the changeless in the changeful. You are the permanent in the transient. So, you see, even as you sit here, now and here, there is the transient in you, changeful, and there is the changeless in you. You identify with the changeful and suffer samsara. You discover the changeless in you and be the divinity itself. That's it. Therefore, you are kotasthaha. Adi Purushaha, you are the first Purusha, the first seed, which is the origin of the zillion seeds. You are the first Purusha, who alone manifests as every living being. Bhagavan Triyadhishaha, you are the master, commander of the three gunas, Saparivastamo gunas. Or, you are the commander or master of the time, which is divided into past, present and future. So you are the master of three. All three, 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 wherever you find three, that is Ishvara. So that Maya Shakti is in the command of Ishvara. Yad buddhyavasthita makhanditaya swadrishtya drashta sthita vadhimukho yatirikta asse. Anyway, you abide in the buddhi, in the intellect, in the heart of the human being. You abide as the source of the intellect. The mind, you know, intellect means mind. You see, mind, it appears as many. Part thought. Thoughts are many. Variegated. Variety of thoughts are there. But the light of awareness in which all these thoughts shine, that light of awareness is one. One without the second. That is the awareness pure, awareness absolute. That is the Atma, Shuddha Chaitanya. That you are. Therefore you abide as that pure Atma in every human heart. That is what you are. So the prayer continues. We'll do it in the next class. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.